Did you realize it's part of your job as a Christian to motivate and to edify one another? When you walk through that door, when you walk down the street every day, your job is to help create peace and to motivate and to edify one another.
In this church here, it seems to me like every 5 years, things turn. People move away. And several years ago, with the elders' help, we decided that this church was going to be a place where we would bring them in, we would train them up, and we would send them out. Now, Bill and Ruth have been a part of this congregation long before I was a part of it. They moved away and they came back. And what Bill and Ruth have done is they've helped us with training people up. Bill worked as an elder. He's been working with the middle schools for a number of years, and he is my elder. I will tell you that Bill has looked out for me on a number of occasions when I wasn't looking out for myself. Bill saw the signs of burnout and made sure I didn't burn out. Bill and I have cried together, we've prayed together, and we have worked together. But the most amazing thing about Bill is not Bill, it's his lovely wife. She is such a beautiful soul to me. I have always thought that there's going to come a time where my heart is going to give out, and I'm going to be up here, and there's going to be one person that's going to save me, and that's going to be Ruth Hemphill. So I went to the cardiologist when I found out that they were moving, because I don't want that to happen. Bill and Ruth, Paul said that he had the church in Philippi in his heart. You and the Pomerankis who are here today, you guys are in my heart. I owe a debt that I cannot pay, and there is a love in my heart that will go throughout eternity. And while we are saying so long today, it's not goodbye forever. Bill is going to come up. He's got some words of encouragement for you today, and Bill, come on up and let's show him and Ruth some love.
All right, now if I can figure out the technology that got me here. Can you hear me all right? Neil, thank you so much for your very kind words, and I want to thank Neil and the eldership here for allowing me to have, to have this time to speak to you one more time. I also appreciate Neil and Carrie getting up and making the trip over here this morning to help support me and to see you guys again. That means a lot. In Psalms 118, verse 24, the psalmist says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Not only did he create the weather that we have here, not only did he create this environment, but the things that transpire today are driven and brought to us by him. The things that we're going to talk about are the Lord's ideas. This is a very bittersweet day. Today is the last day that Ruth and I will be regular attendees here. But we will always carry you in our hearts. A big part of you will be in our hearts no matter where we go or what we do. You know, walking through the building this morning, I looked around, and we've got so many great memories of the things that have happened here during our time. As Neil mentioned, we've been part of this congregation for going on 17 years. That's the longest I've been anywhere. The Lord saw fit for me to serve as one of your elders for almost 12 years. And as I think back about that, so many things, thank you, Neil, so many good things have happened. You know, in this building, I baptized all three of my grandchildren. In this building, when Ruth's dad breathed his last, we held his celebration of life memorial service right here. And topping that, I had the opportunity to see many of our teens as they grew and developed and became fine Christian young adults. About 8 years ago, we started a middle school program. Carrie and Neil and I, we built our own curriculum. We brought the kids in. Bryce Briggs, who's now a fireman, was in that initial class. Also, Logan was part of that. But Amber and Emily came through that program and we got to work with them during that time. Harrison Hammonds, I don't know if Harrison's here this morning, but Harrison was part of that class. Sydney Love, one of our students that has really blossomed into a fine Christian young lady. Nora Baker went through our class. Jack Heaton and Jasmine Ward. I've had the opportunity to see all of these people, and I can't call them kids anymore because they've matured into fine Christian adults. I saw all of you grow and mature as we took our faith and put it into action in such activities as Messengers of Hope, where we took food and shoes to the homeless and to the hungry and to those who needed that support. I remember one day Logan had donated a pair of gently used running shoes, and I remember standing out there on Moon Lake Road as a young man who had been living in the woods received those shoes. He carried those as though they were bricks of gold. I saw you make all of that happen. We made a trip to the DR. We encouraged that work. And we helped some of the kids over at Denham Oaks Elementary School in many ways. We took our faith and we put it into action. We were not just hearers of the word. We were doers of the word. And that's a memory that I will take as we move on. But now I know the Lord is calling Ruth and I to a different work. Some may ask, why are we doing this? And the answer is very simple: family. Ruth's sister, Carolyn Rilling, and Dave have already moved. They're going to be right down the street from us. They've kind of paved the way. They're getting that all set up. And I know Ruth and Carolyn are looking very, very much to further developing and deepening their relationship. Carrie and Neil have already moved over there. And both of our daughters and their families are now in the Orlando area. And by doing this, making this move, it will allow us to have the day-to-day interaction and contact that we really don't have right now. And I think that's very important that we have that. So as Ruth and I depart, here's three ideas I want you to take from me. When Logan was 5 years old, I remember Neil brought him up here on the stage, and Neil said, Logan has something he wants to say to you. His sermon was a one-liner. It was very simple, but to the point. He looked across the crowd and he said, be nice to each other. And that was it. I want to repeat that challenge to you, but I want to add the word intentionally. Be nice to each other intentionally. In Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 14, Paul writes, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul goes even further in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, when he says, if it is possible, as far as it lies within you, be at peace, live at peace with everyone. Now, Paul recognizes there are some people, quite frankly, that just aren't going to allow you to live in peace with them. But Paul says it's your job to do what you're supposed to do to live at peace. Don't allow cliques. Don't allow factions. Don't allow anything. Politics. I wish we could wipe that off the face of the earth as far as this building is concerned. Don't allow anything to keep you from living at peace. In fact, in Romans 14, verse 19, Paul goes on further and says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and things that will edify one another. Did you realize it's part of your job as a Christian to motivate and to edify one another? When you walk through that door, when you walk down the street every day, your job is to help create peace and to motivate and to edify one another. Think of it this way. One of your core missions is that you need to minister and encourage one another. Don't do things to irritate others. Now, nobody here would ever irritate someone, although when I taught middle school in the public schools, there were kids who decided their job was to irritate me. But what did Paul tell me? It was my job not to let that happen and to do what I could to keep that from happening. Don't try to needle one another or anybody. Your job is to create peace and to create edification. Now, you guys are doing a pretty good job of that, but my encouragement to you is never lose sight of that mission that you have. The second idea that I want to leave you with is always remember your family is your most important mission or your most important ministry. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, Paul writes, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We look at that and you say, well, you know, I'm providing food, clothing, shelter, but I'm here today to tell you that providing for your family goes beyond food, clothing, and shelter. Providing for your family includes a complete list of psychosocial needs to raise your family. Paul writes in Galatians 6, verse 4, and to you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know people say, I've got control of my house. They do what I tell them to do. If they don't, I'll beat them, or I'll yell at them, or I'll do physical things to them to put them into subjection. Fathers, mothers, we know our children are not horses. They're not cows. We are to love them, not provoke them, and raise them in the nurture. See that word nurture? The nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're to motivate them and encourage them as much as we are any other member of the church or other people that we would. I think Paul underscored the importance of family when he wrote to Timothy and to Titus about elders and deacons. What he specified was that these men need to be the husband of one wife who manage their households well. Families are the building block of the church. And if we raise our family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not provoking them to wrath, we will be well on our way to building the church and to building the congregation. Treat your families as the gift from God that they truly are. Your families, regardless of what your relationship may be with them now, are and were a gift from God. And your role is to do what needs to be done to nurture and edify them. The last idea that I want to leave you with is listen to and respect your elders. As Paul was on the brink of leaving the Ephesian elders, in Acts 20, verses 28 to 30. And by the way, your elders, sitting right here, and Chris, he's not here right now, but these guys, they know this. They know that this is their job, and I want you to know what they know their job is. Paul writes, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Really underscores the importance of who you are to God, because he purchased you with his blood. And your elders have the challenge to oversee the thing and to shepherd you as people. Remember what he said, the admonition that he gave fathers? Don't provoke your children to wrath. That same thing applies to your elders. They know that their job is to lead you and to motivate you and to encourage you and shepherd you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Paul goes on to say, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." We are under constant assault by Satan and his angels, who will describe themselves as seekers, who will come in among you and then begin to pick you apart. They will rise up, also among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things and draw disciples to themselves. Your shepherds have to be constantly on the watch for things and people outside the congregation trying to affect you, but they also have to look within the flock to make sure that we haven't been infiltrated, to make sure that we don't have people rising up to try to separate us and divide us. This is a challenge that they have, and they have accepted it willingly, and they know that they are accountable, as I was, to God for you, your development, yes, your souls. Understand the tremendous responsibility that they have taken on themselves. So listen to them. Respect them. Please know that they genuinely have your best interests at heart. They are accountable for your souls, and they will face a stricter judgment than will you, because they're responsible for you. So listen to them, respect them. Ruth and I are moving to a little community of Groveland, Florida, just outside Claremont. We're in a resort community. You know, you would have thought that we would have downsized on this move, but we really didn't. Our house is actually going to be just slightly bigger. But we have all sorts of room. I jokingly tell Ruth I'm going to rent out our great room to local community agencies to come in and hold their meetings, because we got plenty of conference space right there. So if you ever find yourself up around Highway 27 at about State Road 19, come on in. We'll be glad to see you. And we look for, I can't tell you how much of a privilege and a pleasure it's been to work with you over these last almost 17 years. And this is not goodbye. I appreciate the sentiment, but this is not goodbye. One of the things that Ruth and I have learned in our gypsy career, you know, when I was in the Air Force for about 21 years, we moved every 2.5 years on the average. We were constantly moving in, and, you know, Shaq's nodding his head. He knows what that's all about. I think one of the roles and one of the purposes that God has had for us is to be gypsies, to move around, to gain the experiences from various congregations, and then be able to work with others and try to help them. You guys mean the world to us, and we really appreciate the time we've had with you. Thank you very much.
Ruth, could you come on down as well? I loved when I first met Bill. He's got such a dry wit about him. And he would say things and I would look at him like, are you kidding me? Or are you telling the truth here? And I finally said, Bill, sometimes I have a hard time telling the difference between when you're being serious and when you're joking. He says, I know, I want to keep it that way. Bill, Ruth, you mean the world to us, and the elders have a presentation now for you.
Thank you, Bill, for those remarks. Today, you've seen a man that loves the Lord. He and Ruth are two faithful servants that never have stopped being all in. For 12 years, Bill has stood actively involved in serving you, church, as an elder. And right behind him has been a staunch, hardcore, loving wife, Ruth. And you both have shaped all of our lives in a way that God blessed you to do. It wasn't cookie cutter, and I'm so glad it wasn't. It was who you were and who you are, and you wanted to share God with us, and you did. And we appreciate you so much for doing that. On a personal note, Hemphill has been one of the best advisors and counselors I've ever had, always reminding me to stop being ready, fire, aim. Get on your knee and pray through this before you just go shooting and then looking at what you're shooting at later. Ruth, your pillar of strength example will stand so long with all of us. And I know on a personal note that there's already a group of women in your little weekly card gang that's trying to find Patty Bass enough time to drive over to Claremont so y'all can continue your card games. And I know that they're going to miss you a whole lot for doing that. But I'll tell you, somebody else that's going to miss Ruth Hemphill is at Thursday morning ladies' Bible class. Ruth has been a fantastic leader in that group. And I know that they have been encouraged and uplifted by you and your heart for God. You always have reflected the love of Christ in everything you've done. We're going to miss you. There's no doubt about it. We know that the work you've done here, you have equipped, and you are now equipping, and will be equipping others as you go over there. And that's what makes it okay for you to go. We send off with a big package of love to you, and we want you to continue to shine the light of Christ in all that you do. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may His face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. Church, we're going to present Ruth with a bouquet of flowers. Monty, you want to do that? And while we're doing that, I'm going to come across and we're going to ask you to come on down. And Monty and I, on behalf of Chris and the leadership team, we're going to pray Bill and Ruth, and it'll be part of our closing, and we're still going to have a closing song and closing prayer. But I want you all to know that every opportunity we gather, we extend an awareness to you that no matter what the occasion is, if you have a need to let your sins be prayed over and forgiven by the Lord, or if you want to put on Christ through baptism, we have that opportunity. We're all gathered, the water's ready. The prayer warriors are here, and we can help you in any way to meet the needs that you have. Very fitting for this example today, because that's exactly what the Hemphills would say if they were up here. And I want you to know that, Bill, we also have one of the famous elder plaques for you. And this is what I love about this church. We give them a nice award, and then we take it away from them and put it on the wall back there. But in recognition of your 12 years of dedicated service as an elder to this church here at North Tampa, we present you with this one-time plaque.
Thank you.
That'll hang forever. I love you, brother.
Thank you, too.
You want to sing a song? You want to sing a song, and then we'll get the church to come down. We'll pray them out of here.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or
Monty, if you would, start us off, and I'll close us. Thank you all for coming down.
I think we need a bigger boat. I'm going to go ahead and lead the prayer, and we'll have time for everybody to put their hands on these folks and let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. Father, we're always thankful that we can come together and worship You, that You gave Your Son, that we might have that ability to serve You. And as we think of service, we think of Bill, and we think of all that he has done, and his lovely wife standing right there, arm in arm with him. And Father, as they're leaving us, they're not leaving You. They're not leaving Your work or Your church. They're just going to a different place that need them to do Your will. We pray that as they do this, as they reconnect in another place, that You'll bless them, keep them, that You'll use them, that You'll show them the way. Father, we pray that they will be able to inspire others to serve You and to do Your will. Father, we're thankful that we could be here this morning, that we could join in the fellowship that we can only have through Jesus. And Father, we pray that all that we've done here in this time, in this place, has been pleasing to you has been right. We pray you'll continue to forgive us, that you'll continue to lead us, and that you'll use us in your service through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Please come on down and say farewell, not goodbye.
See you later.
All right, see you later,
Timmy.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
We are dismissed.